Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4, please. Look at the first 11 verses of chapter 4 of Matthew. We're going to look at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Starting in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we meet this evening in your house, and as we come together to look into your word again, as we continue this study of the doctrines of Satan, I pray, Father, that you would just continue to reveal the truths to us as we go through this, and we see that as we've been learning and as we've known for years, that Satan has no new tricks up his sleeve. He's using the same stuff over and over and over. And yet we see as he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ just quoted scripture to him over and over. And we see that that's a very, very good tactic for us as well. So we thank you for this evening. We thank you for those who are here. And thank you for this time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 4. We just were at Matthew 4. Now we're going to go over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 13. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, with him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And you'll see both accounts show that Jesus' statements are the same, but the rest of the account we can see is the same account. It's just given in a little bit different wording, but it means the same thing. So I've said over and over and over, when you're going through the Gospels, you need to check where all it is so you can have, as they used to say, the rest of the story, right? So you can put it all together as it always does come together, and God sees to it at that. But you can see Satan knew he was hungry, tempted him, right? with food, make these stones bread. He tried to get him to do something because of where he was at. Satan knows, now don't give him too much credit, but he does know what we're up to, right? What's going on. He knows when you're hungry. Some things sound really good when you're hungry, right? Some things don't. But he knows when you're, he knows when things are going, he knows when you're starting to get these temptations, and he just shows up and he tries to tempt you more so that you'll do things that we know we shouldn't do, but we'll do them anyway. So what we need to do is follow the Lord Jesus Christ leading and say, just quote scripture to him. Quote scripture. His current role as the accuser of the brethren, a role most well known from his accusations against Job, as we saw in Job's chapter 1 and 2. Zechariah chapter 3, if you'll turn to Zechariah, right before Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. So Zechariah, right before the last book, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before an angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And Revelation, if we turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Remember last week I said that there's many people who do not believe that there is a Satan, that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God. They don't believe those things. But over and over and over, the Word of God, Jesus even points out that Satan is real. And so Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser. Satan spends a lot of time walking to and fro amongst the earth, looking, seeking whom he may devour, and he's constantly making accusation. And I always think of, every time I think of the accuser accusing us, I keep thinking Jesus standing up and saying, guilty. Right? Because we are. We are guilty. But the next part is what I really like. It's covered under the blood. It's covered under the blood. So no matter how much Satan accuses us, and yes, we are guilty. God already knows we are. And yet, it's covered under the blood. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be great? You know, well, let's just say nobody in here should ever be arrested for anything. But if you were, wouldn't it be great if you were found guilty and they said, but it's, penalty is already paid, you can go free? Wouldn't that just be, like, amazing? Now, we would be ecstatic if that happened, right? But we can talk about the fact that we have been set free. And where's the excitement? God's people don't get excited very easily anymore. But we should be extremely excited that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And we get to walk scot-free. We don't have to pay for it. And then his future war in heaven, when he will be permanently cast out from any access to heaven at the midpoint of the tribulation, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Notice day and night. He's constantly accusing us. What else does he have to do, right? Continually try to make our lives miserable. That's what he's all about. And if we are doing absolutely nothing for the Lord, as I've said many times, he's less concerned with us. What's there to be concerned with if you're not doing anything? But those who are serving God, he's bent on trying to make our lives miserable. Then the devil is referred to with personal pronouns by God. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 14, we're looking at verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 14. It says, Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Over and over and over we see this is the one, and God is the one that's speaking to him in personal pronouns. This has to be something that exists, right? And personal pronouns, it has to be some being that exists. Not just a made-up fantasy like we see in the cartoons and all, but somebody that physically does exist. God created him. Of course, God's going to talk to him in personal pronouns. Ezekiel, also in 28. Starting in verse 12 of Ezekiel 28, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon thy holy mountain of God. Thou wast hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Over and over and over, God is talking to him as if he is a real being, right? He's not talking to him as if he's some made-up character that, like I said, with the horns and the pitchfork and the tail and all that. That's not what he is. And he always makes things so appealing. So appealing. Be really nice if he would just put poison on the label of everything he tries to make us do, right? Because then we know, well, we don't want poison. But he doesn't do that. He makes it look very, very appealing so that we would want to do what he's trying to tempt us to do. Even though we know the Word of God says, be careful, be careful. And the Word of God tells us He always gives us a way of escape from every temptation. So we know there's a way out. And then the devil possesses the three characteristics of personality. The devil has mind and intellect, 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." I would say if we are ignorant of his devices, it's because we haven't read the Word of God. Because we know exactly what he's doing. We know exactly the techniques he uses. We know exactly what different temptations he uses. We know what he does. And yet, we still fall for it. 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Again, you know, Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, and he's concerned about what might happen. Satan might come in and corrupt them. Well, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to turn us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He also speaks and he debates constantly. And we see over in Genesis chapter 3, a very, very, very well-known account in Genesis chapter 3. And again, we constantly want to blame Eve for what took place in the Garden of Eden, but it was Adam. Adam's the one. And as I've said many times, if Adam hadn't, someone since then would have. Right? I mean, let's face it. It's just our nature. And then we decide that we want to be like the Most High, right? So Genesis 3:1-5 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it." She would have been better if she'd have put a period there, but she put a comma there. "Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Did God ever say they couldn't touch that tree? No. He said they should not eat of that tree. The fruit of that tree is what he said. But she adds there, "Neither shall ye touch it," causing doubt. Going on with verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Isn't that interesting? God said, "Ye shall surely die." Satan says, "Ye shall not surely die." Which one are we going to believe? Obviously, God who cannot lie, or Satan, the father of lies. We have a choice. We saw also in Job's chapter 1 and 2 as well. And then in Isaiah 14, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Over and over and over we see where Satan got lifted up in pride. We got to be careful. Pride is something God said he hates. And I think he proved it when Satan decided he was going to be prideful and God cast him out of heaven. God doesn't take pride lightly. When it says he hates it, it means he hates it. He's not just throwing that out there just to see if he could scare you. He's telling you, I hate pride. And he showed it when Satan got prideful and he threw him out of heaven. And then Matthew chapter 4, and we'll end with this tonight, verses 3 through 9. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and there in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We've got to be careful. Verse 8 and 9 goes on and says, Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Obviously, if he really realized who he was talking to, God, right? If he really realized who he was talking to, how could God bow down and worship something he created? Doesn't make sense, does it? If Satan had really realized who he was talking to, and I think Satan, I mean, we know, right? Satan's not winning. He looks like he's winning. And isn't it interesting when it looks like you're winning, you get even more bold, and then you find out that you're losing because you got so bold. Oh, we got this one in the bag, right? And the next thing you know, you're being trampled. Satan thinks he's winning. He's gotten very bold. The good news is, we know how it ends. Satan does not win. All right. We need to move on to prayer requests.